Blog Talk Radio.
Read to you this morning from Mark Mark chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse 35. Mark chapter 4. For those today who are bewildered, who are frustrated, who are confused, and I am talking about professional persons too, who are bewildered about what is going on in the world and what the world is like. Let me say to you this morning that there is hope for us all in the Jesus. In Jesus. There is hope. And this show today is for the bewildered one. The world seems to be a vast wilderness filled with violence. People rather take up a gun or a weapon, or people use their words in a manner that would chew up another individual. Chew to bits is a term that's used in the book of Daniel, which means to not only attack, but to devour others with words, to swallow them down whole. A very important word in the book of Daniel. So if you are bewildered today, if you are confused today about what is going on, about what is right, what is wrong, it seems that the distinction, that is what is right and what is wrong, has disappeared. Is it true that in Massachusetts a law has been passed legalizing or making it legal for an individual to look up the skirt of a female? Is it true that such an absurd law exists on the books today? Is it true? So, we are morphing. If this is true, we have long been on the road, a decline that may be irrecoverable if we do not return to God. We will be devoured. We will devour ourselves if we do not turn around. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was. Very interesting phrase. In the ship. And there were also with him other little ships, or boats. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, that is, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, didaskale, that is, teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? It is a very powerful scene. After a very long day of teaching, the people, the Aces is now tired. He is now tired. So that evening, he said to the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. He had spent the day teaching the people in general. And now, even though weary, he must spend time teaching his own. He was never neglectful of his. They were always his primary concern. He had come to teach and preach and perform miracles that would show forth the presence of the kingdom of God. They were to later become the heralds of that very kingdom in his person. He would empower them to do so. But now they were still learners. They are called the disciples. And so he says to them, let us pass over on the other side. It's interesting that this term means to let us pass over into the other side. It means to pierce through. To pierce through. As if to pierce through a veil or an obstacle. This is a marvelous verse because it teaches us that he will see us through to the other side, from where we are to where he wants us to be. God never fails. And so this is why this show today is a word, a redemptive word for the bewildered. God never fails. He will see us through to the other side. God will enable us to pierce through that which is holding us back. If we have hit a spiritual wall, if we feel that we are in a vast desert, and we thirst, and we hunger, but no answer is forthcoming to our great need, God will enable us to pierce through to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So nature, physis in the Greek. Physis becomes a great school, as it were. Natural events, or so-called natural events, would be used by the Jesus to teach who he is to called one. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So we have a crisis. Some of these men were fishermen, and they were used to storms coming down over the mountains, the cold air mixing with the warm air, and thus creating sometimes very violent storms, which still occur today on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret. They knew what could happen. They were experienced fishermen. You know how dangerous it could become. Some of them. And so now the ship is full. We have a crisis. We have a crisis. And if you've noticed very carefully, verse 38, and he was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a interesting that he was at the helmsman's place. But, and yet he was asleep. And even though he was asleep, he was yet in control. He had evidently laid his head upon the steersman's pillow, and there he had fallen asleep. The disciples are now experiencing an internal crisis. Now it had hit them individually, and now it has become elective. It has become general. And so they go to him, and notice verse 38, and they awake him, that literally to stir up. They stir him up. And they say, they said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's resting words. They're in a panic state, and they are fearing for their lives, and so they go to the helmsman, who is asleep. The helmsman who would not arise and who was not disturbed by the storm-tossed sea. He yet lay resting, knowing that all is in God's control. And yet God is working out his telos, his end, that is, his will through this event. God must take us through real events where we reach the edge of our resources, where we can no longer help ourselves. God must push us to the place where we are helpless within our own devices and schemes and plans and programs. I think it is wonderful that God works outside of our program. God does not limit himself to our box. So he is allowing them to be in crisis. He has upset their homeostasis. He has purposely introduced this event into their lives as a teaching exercise for them. Has God ever put you through a crisis? Has God ever pushed you to the point of helplessness so that you realize that your resources would not be effective for what had happened to you? See? So, they put to him the statement, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He did not answer this statement that they put to him, but he got up. And guess what word is used here? It is a word for resurrection. He stood up. He stood up. And what a picture here. Asleep, and then the prone sleeping in. Now he has stood up. And so he arose. He did not speak to the disciples at this point, but he spoke to their seeming source of crisis. He spoke directly to the crisis. So he arose and rebuked the wind
said unto the sea, Hush! Siopa. And there was an involuntary stillness. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. This is marvelous. This is a powerful teaching event. It is marvelous in the sense that Jesus has allowed the disciples to see themselves, their individual fear and their collective fear have coalesced. And they were not able to edify one another. They were not able to build up one another. They were not able to lend courage to one another. But they knew where to go during this crisis and in the midst of this crisis. They knew where to go. They may not have posed the correct question, but they are in crisis. And so the question or the statement is indicative of great fear on their part. So the Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind first, the howling wind that stirred up the water, that stirred up the waves, that stirred up the top. Of the water that created this incredible energy, and that kept lending energy to the waves beating against the ship and thus filling up the ship, the tremendous power of the wind, this first curtail, that which was driving the sea into this very angry state. Jesus moved into that first, the source of the angry waves. And so he stood up. He said, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And the great Sermon on the Mount that is given to us in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, particularly chapter 7, we read these words. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. And here in the Greek, it is this statement, it fell not, is in the absolute, what we call an absolute negation. It never happened. This house never failed. For it was founded upon the rock, not a rock, the rock, not a rock, not just any rock, the rock, which points to God himself, Christ himself. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. not a small thing today that there is the concerted attempt to remove the presence of God from public buildings, from the teaching curriculum, from the armed forces, from our culture at large. The deliberate attempt to undermine the spiritual lives of persons within our country will have a very detrimental impact upon the culture at large. It is not the fancy mathematical calculations that are used to manipulate markets that keep us alive. God understands economics. It is not those who attempt to undermine our youth when they are sent off to universities that claim to educate them, but in fact manipulate and denigrate what has been done in the home. You see, God blesses those countries and those people who honor He and His Word. We built our home. Our country is a home. We build our home on the rock. It's founded upon God. Autonomous humanism will never replace the solid rock of the presence of God in our lives. Autonomous humanism, independent humanism, philosophical humanism, always in some type of form of socialism, some form of communism, some form of manipulative government that seeks to undermine creativity and who we are as people. We need to return to God. The social bewilderment that is around us is because people do not feel connected to themselves or to the culture or to any true purpose. Our crisis today is a crisis of meaninglessness. The shiny toys that we are given, those things that we look to provide communication, pseudo-communication with others, are designed to manipulate us so that we do not look at our real condition. There is one who says, "Peace be still," to the troubled heart, to the confused heart, to the bewildered heart. He is the Jesus. He has come with a redemptive word for us all, that is to buy us out of the marketplace so that we might have lives of superabundance. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on Your Matter Cost.